Okay, welcome everybody back to Tailored Healing TV. I recommend if you are joining us to catch part one first of the interview that I did with our guest today, because we are moving beyond our first episode with her and her amazing journey of, I'll let you guys get into it when you see the episode. I don't want to give everything away, but we explored her journey from government covert operations into priesthood and what it means to leave systems of secrecies holding the flame. Holding the blue flame is what she and her whole life, I think, are really truly centered around and what she's shown in leadership. So, thank you, Sylvie, for being here again today. And we're just gonna have a chill, relaxed conversation about the world and intelligence and what we're experiencing right now as a collective. So, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me back. I love these conversations. So, yes.
I do too. So, since our last episode, I know you had a very full year of teaching, of working with personal clients, of going through your own personal journey as well. Tell us about your last few months since we last spoke.
Yeah, there has been quite a bit, eh? It's just funny. It's like we live in like no time, but so much time. And it's just like we really do bend time in so many ways. What has transpired? My goodness. Yeah, definitely just refinement. I mean, in terms of just like my service work and all this, I really had to get very clear on where I wanted to invest my energy. Truly, what was really lighting me up and what was not lighting me up anymore. And so there was a refinement on many aspects of the quote unquote business aspect of things, which just led me into experiencing these really beautiful processes and just really experiences, right? So like I got to facilitate some really beautiful pilgrimages. I call them pilgrimages. We can get into that after versus retreats. And yeah, I was in many different beautiful lands like Egypt and Greece, Crete, Delphi, the UK, Glastonbury, AKA Avalon. And yeah, I mean, I just always have to reflect on how humbling these experiences really are, because even though I step into, guide facilitator role, it's still such an evolution for me personally as well. And being in co-creation with those that get to experience what I get to tailor out and like curate for them is, it just brings me so much joy. Like really, that's the mission right there. So, yeah.
So tell us about what a pilgrimage is. We send messages back and forth all of the time, but for people who are listening, how do we explain what this is?
Yeah. Okay. So, I'm gonna rewind with a couple of things. So over the course of my personal development over the last like, my God, I'm actually almost coming up to 20 years. I can't even believe that. I'm like, what? It's crazy. But over the course of that time, I have, had mentors and elders and teachers and all kinds, coaches, and I've been on so many different kinds of retreats, right? Workshops, like, you would say smaller workshops, like sort of like a weekend thing, or like retreats or 7, 10 days, these wellness retreats. All everything has served its purpose for me personally. When I was brought back into deeper remembrance, for my lineage, the lineages I carry, and I was brought back to the lands of my ancestors, it was very, very clear what needed to be done in terms of, because I love creating experiences for people. When I say it's an experience, it truly is. Something that I create, yes, based on my how would I say, like everything that I have accumulated in my own wisdom and gnosis that I wish to translate to others. So it's like this ancient wisdom, but for modern times, right? And bringing them to very particular sites. We can get into temples and sites and all that after, but bringing them to places where I have personally like had my feet in the ground. I have been initiated. I have, I've been taught the mysteries of those lands. The land has taught me in multiple ways. And so for me, there's an even deeper experience that I was able to touch, which was pilgrimage, really. We can go deep in retreats, and there's a lot of beautiful transformation that comes out there. But pilgrimage is sort of this next evolution of, and it's ancient, right? I mean, we've always heard of people, initiates that like pilgrimage to these particular lands and all of these things. And what was really felt for me is that, you know, we are currently at a time where bringing back these remembrances and bringing back these experiences in that particular way, where you go really, really deep into the unravel and the deeper shedding of what is really not true, right? In order to get to your personal truth, in order to get to the point where you can actually remember your soul code, like your actual codes, like what is the frequency that you came here to embody, right? That cannot be done without the collaboration to the land and being really immersed culturally. And like, I mean, there's so many aspects of this, right? We're like this, it's a huge topic, but yeah, this is one thing. Pilgrimage is sort of just this deeper gritty. I call it gritty because you need grit to go on a pilgrimage. It's not, yes, there are aspects of relaxation, and you know, I like to do things where there is a luxury feel to it. And when I say luxury, I do not mean by any way that synthetic kind of luxury. I'm talking about luxury that comes from the land, like luxe, like the organic, natural luxuries that, you know, most of our modern life is actually missing. And it's bridging us back with that, that helps us to remember that, you know, what the body, like as a technology, is actually designed for, what our potential is. So there's many pieces to pilgrimage that I like to implement and just take people really, really, really deep into these transformational experiences.
As soon as you started exploring the idea of pilgrimage, I can't even imagine how you must feel now seeing the world that we live in as you take people to like journey through these deep integrative lands that have always been here, the oldest lands that have been here, and then hop onto a phone or on a computer and kind of watch what's happening right now with the world and with minds and still be able to like hold these mysteries and guide people through it. Like, how does that even feel?
Yeah, it feels, I mean, I get a lot of feels, put it that way. It's I keep coming back to the piece around, number one, it is an absolute gift and a blessing that, you know, through my personal evolution, this has come to me as medicine to bring into the world at this time because it is so needed. So I just really want to say that first and foremost. So it really is humbling in many ways. And the other part is just, it's like, it's wild. It's just wild. It's like, what? Like, I mean, contrast, right? And how we all learn by way of contrast. Like, we have to experience this often in order to be able to remember this or appreciate this, right? So these contrastual experiences of being in this like modern, and I have something to say, like even with Egypt, you know, especially this year when I went, I said this year, 2025, in October, November, what was very apparent to me, and this goes really, really deep, but what was really apparent to me is like there was another layer of grief that I had to personally move through because of what is actually happening in Egypt at this moment with the development of, you know, everything artificial intelligence, everything. And again, I'm not saying AI is bad. And that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is for those of us with eyes to see, you can see that very raw Atlantean kind of like timeline distortion of the synthetic overlay that is being brought onto these really, really sacred lands once again. And it's just this overdevelopment of like commercial, big, you know, how would I say, like, yeah, very, very commercial, very, very commercial. Like there, you know, and there's no in between. It's either, you know, it's being It's being brought in. It's almost looking like a mini Dubai. Like, you know what I mean? It's that kind of a thing. So I don't want to get into like, oh, who's investing in that? Like, and why? But I mean, we all know why.
Yeah.
But there was a big sadness for me, a big grief in witnessing this because, you know, there's always that fear, and I don't like to tap too much into fear, but there's always that fear is like, we can't lose like the organic. We can't lose the ancient, like the ancient, like, you know, there's such a brilliance there that must be remembered in order to remember our own human progression, our potential, and our divinity.
Now, you know that I dive quite a bit into tech, but I think that I would have never gotten to this position in my life if I did not honor the original mysteries. And to me, that's really all there is. Everything else is just a mere replication of it. So when I think about what I'm seeing built around the world in different countries, I look back to these stories and realize even though the component and the replication of how the mind is mimicked and replicated, we have seen temples inscribed with the stories of civilization and yet readily ignored it. And it's like missing that key framework or that key element to what the story is really all about. So I love like when you post because you provide just this aspect of remembrance that seems like it's lost, but I don't believe anything is really lost. It's only buried in the sands of time. And it's always been here, but to also live in like this duality of, okay, this is what the world is now versus what it's always been. I don't want that to be forgotten. And I think you have a beautiful way of like helping people transition through these stories. So there's so many topics like we could go into with this. But I saw a post and you were talking about people in your comments, or maybe it was in your stories, asking you about psychedelics. What is that about when it comes to the work? That's what I want to talk about, at least one part of the conversation.
Oh, okay. This is a whole other game. I mean, psychedelics. So
And how it relates
where
too,
were
so
you?
we can like bridge the worlds together.
Where would you like me to kind of begin? Because it's such a wide spectrum topic. It's like, you know, where can I begin with that? Would you like to know a little bit more about like my personal story with it, and then how, you know, so I mean, I don't know. What would you?
I guess we can talk about like ceremony and what the stories were, how you've bridged in it to
Got
your
it.
work, and then we can kind of like get into what people are asking you and your views on it now.
Totally. Okay. Well, psychedelics. So, very, very quickly, at one point on my journey, right, when sort of these modern modalities were no longer being supportive for me, they weren't getting to the root. I was brought into, like I was brought into connection with shamanic facilitators. I say shamanic facilitators, but you know, they were like a bridge to the worlds, basically. They weren't like full-blown like into the shamanic world, but they were also, you know, like psychologists that were on a shamanic journey and all of this kind of stuff. And make a very long story short, I was prepared very thoroughly to sit with psychedelic medicine. And at that time, they would call it psychedelic assisted psychotherapy. And you know, I was obviously, you know, in the forces and all of these things. And at that time, they were doing a lot of studies around how MDMA assisted psychotherapy was actually really, really almost like eradicating signs and symptoms of post-traumatic stress syndrome. Okay. And of course, I had like complex PTSD and all these things. Okay. So I said, okay. I said, let's do it. I was at a point where it was like either it's my life or it's this modality. At this point, that's where I was at. And you know, really none of it was actually, and I'm gonna get in, I have to explain all this because it's like you'll see the bigger picture after, but I was at a point where this was not approved through my organization. My organization probably would have fired me for doing this modality. It was not considered legal or blah, blah, blah. And again, like I said, like for me, it's always about truth. Sure, we have laws and all these other things, but as we know, there's a lot of corruption in it and it's very political. And for me, it was like, I have a family, I have my mental health to take care of. And quite frankly, I don't care if I lose my job. I need to explore this option. So I explored the option. It took one session, and I'm calling this a session because there's a very big difference between session and ceremony. Okay. So this was a session. It was well guided, well facilitated. It really did its quote unquote job at that time in terms of really opening my heart, allowing me to see what I needed to see within myself. It tapped me into, yes, a higher aspect of my own consciousness that I did not have access to because of the fight flight responses that I kept, cycling through as a result of, my nervous system just having been blown out of capacity. So that was my first meeting with a psychedelic ever. Okay. And from that moment on, it just propelled me into what I am here doing today, right? It was just like more doors opened, more evolution, all of this. So over the course of, I want to say at least 10 years, I dove really, really deep into understanding consciousness, understanding psychedelics, understanding what is a true psychedelic and what is not actually a true psychedelic, plant medicine in terms of, the organic plants versus like a lot of these synthetic substances that are, being used, like MDMA and all these, ketamine and all this, and like the very distinct differences in these medicines. And it's like, again, it's a massive topic. That's why I'm doing like a whole workshop on it, like a whole 3-hour thing on it. But where my guidance and my quote unquote apprenticeship and my study led me, essentially was really, really back deeply into my personal lineage. So when you look at psychedelics, we have a spectrum of the way they are being served, right? So we have everything from sort of like, the jungle shamanic practitioners, or like those that have been like in the jungle, like, you're looking at like South America, Peru, Brazil, all of these, beautiful places where plants like, ayahuasca and other kinds of plants. I don't want to go too much into like all the different, but like I'll just go into something that most people know is like ayahuasca, right?
Right.
Ayahuasca being native to those lands and to the peoples of those lands, the indigenous peoples of those lands who have been working with these plants for millennia. Okay. And then we have other things like psilocybin and, things like bufo and which is known as, some people call it DMT, or the synthetic version is 5-MeO-DMT. Bufo is actually fairly new. I think it only was discovered in the late 60s, maybe the early 70s. That's a whole other piece there. So it doesn't have the same kind of particular lineage that like ayahuasca would have, or, or even like iboga from like the African lands, right? That's a whole other thing over there. So for me, it just led me on this journey of like, because I was apprenticing for years through elders and shamanic practitioners, and through my own self-development of shamanism and like the priestess path, and really learning how to work with the plants and how to collaborate with them and understanding them at very deep levels in order to be able to facilitate them. Okay. I thought that I was going to be a facilitator of ayahuasca, and that was going to be it. I was going to devote my life to that until, a few years later, sitting with ayahuasca, it was very clear. She said to me, "Nope, you are to return to your homelands, to your ancestors, and you are to rediscover how to work with the medicines of your lands." And so for me, that was like, oh my gosh. Okay, I understood it as truth. I had to have the maturity enough to say, I'm going to listen to the medicine, because a lot of people don't listen to the medicine. They just keep pursuing and seeking and seeking. And so I did that, and it brought me back to the Mediterranean, brought me back to Egypt, brought me back to Greece and Sicily. I ended up going diving into like the Eleusinian mysteries and understanding what those were as rites of passage with psychedelic medicine. Of course, they had a completely different concoction of medicines in Greece. But even in Egypt, what was lotus Like the original lotus, what was that? How was that used? How were mushrooms used in temples? Psilocybin is a mushroom. Like it, how would I say that? It is a medicine of those lands. Like it grows all over Europe. So lots of like European shamanism would use psilocybin in those rites of passage and ceremony. Ceremony is much different than a session. Ceremony is, I'm not going to say that one is more intentional than another, but I believe that in ceremony, we are going deeper into addressing the unseen and the aspects of whatever you want to call soul, spirit. I call it plasma, right? That's a whole other piece that we can get into around psychedelics and the plasma field and really understand it, which I'll actually be talking about in the workshop that I'm doing. But it's really understanding why these medicines, number one, at one point were only utilized in high alchemy. So that's like high magic, right? Why they were only used specifically in ceremony with real initiates. When I say that, I'm talking about people who have devoted their lives to whatever you want to call it, the hero's path, self-development, evolution, right? Understanding the death and rebirth cycle. Embodying, right, that those sort of like gold nuggets as we shed those old skins. And what I mean, it's really it's that's why I'm such like such a thick topic. It's but what I discovered really was especially in places like the King's Chamber and in like other places in Egypt or like Abydos where like a lot of the queens would go specifically there for like these rites of passage, and these ceremonies were really only reserved for the true sovereign. And this is not a power over thing. It's not like, oh, they're better than me, and it wasn't good enough for the poor peasants, of the land, like all of this kind of stuff. It had nothing to do with that. It just had to do with the fact that there was a very particular responsibility that we had to have with these medicines because of how powerful they are. And when they're brought into too much ego or too much fear, right, it actually completely distorts the field and creates even more of the very thing we don't want it to create, right? So lots of things in there in terms of ceremony and ritual and how I have learned how to do, I say learned, but how I serve medicine only, and again, I don't serve it to just anybody. There's a very strict process that I go through in preparation to be able to receive these. It is a rite of passage. It's a full rite of passage. It is a ceremonial art. We are dealing with aspects of soul, higher self. We cannot deny that, where I find a lot of the clinical world denies a lot of that. So this is where there's like a big dilution there. We can't over medicalize this. This is just one of those things that, so that's where like I really push for that. I'm just like, no, there's a wisdom in this that we need to honor. Right. So, yeah.
So this is the first time in some years that I've actually gotten to have this conversation with someone. For those of you who don't know, if you go back to some older episodes of this very podcast, they started off with me talking about motherhood and sacred medicine. Psychedelics is a fairly new term in itself, so I never really referred to it as that unless I had to kind of communicate a point to someone. But that's how I started, and I feel like I've changed so much in what I've learned, but I felt like this conversation was very necessary to have during Aquarius season too, at that, because I kind of had a moment like you a little bit where you said you got like a call to go back to your homelands and to learn and to integrate with that. And so I started off on my path talking about sacred medicine and these amazing experiences that I had, but also these very eye-opening revelations about life. And I found that when I started talking about it online and as the platform grew, people like, oh, I want to try it, I want to try it. And I'm like, it's not like this popular candy. That's not what I'm trying to tell you. And so I strayed away and kind of like tried to bridge over this gift that I was given, because to have your eyes opened again and again, that's an initiation, like you said. So I built this whole platform talking about motherhood. I got to speak to mothers all over America, Mexico, everywhere, talking about sacred medicine, but I
Yeah.
felt that there was more to teach. And now with what's happening with tech and AI, it's almost like I feel this call to bring this back into the conversation because, so many people are realizing the what's happening with like the chat GPTs and the Anthropics and Claude AI and the government. And what I think is like really necessary about the conversation is to understand that this was the reason that oracles were needed. This is the reason why there was a space held for people to divine. And to divine is not like, hey, chat GPT, what's my future
No.
in 5 years? This is something like identifying trauma and a wound as like an area in the body that is being not only healed in a way that you can't see with your eyes, but it's closing a space and time as well.
Yeah.
And it's not really viewed that way when people have access to asking unlimited questions to something when it was like, it's almost like the difference between asking Google to give you a recipe versus sitting in the kitchen with your grandmother and learning things by hand.
Exactly.
So
Exactly.
I love that you're talking about this because I've even strayed away. I'm like, I don't want to get back into these conversations because I don't want people to think that taking these medicines is the answer. Like you said, this was reserved for very specific people. Not that it's
Yeah.
not for everyone, but it is a journey to be able to venture through the unknown to get the information you're supposed to receive and come back and translate it for people. So
Yeah.
for you, like, what has that been like?
Yeah. I mean, okay. So see this, like, I'm going to show you, like, let me explain something here. On one hand, I don't even want to say on one hand, I'm going to caveat this whole thing with saying yes. Without bypass, everything is perfect. Okay. There's always a higher plan. This is why I don't like to tap so much into fear or like judgment and pointing the finger at, like, yes. And we also live in the third dimension where, we have different versions of truth and reality. And, part of my mission is really, it is truth. It's truth. And it's not my truth. It's not your truth. It's simply truth. And the only way I could get to that is through the consistent shedding of illusion, the consistent surrender to the egoic aspects of my mind that might desire or want a certain thing, but it's like, no, wait a minute. The divine has a plan, right? How do I hear that? How do I listen to that intelligence come through? And when our waters, I say our waters, but when our, like, our field is too murky because it's being held with so much fear, right? It's being held with all of these other kind of like denser emotions. It's not clear. We cannot hear the intelligence come through, right? So psychedelics gives us a doorway in order to tap into, because what it, for the most part, it's not only like depending on the actual medicine itself. So like if I'm talking about ayahuasca, or if I'm talking about like psilocybin, or if I'm talking about like bufo, or even just MDMA, right? They all work differently with the body, with the mind, with like your unique soul codes. Like it's a very, very tailored experience. And so, the way what I might get through MDMA is going to be very different than what I'm going to get through ayahuasca. Okay. And typically, people who are holding really deep trauma, like complex, compounded PTSD. I'll take like the first responder community because I was part of that. MDMA works in a way where it just relaxes the amygdala. The amygdala is that the part of the brain that really, it's the survival part where it's like everything is about that trauma response, right? So if we're constantly in this like fight response, I'm just going to use fight because that was my response. If I'm constantly in this fight response, my amygdala is constantly being activated. My nervous system is constantly in this contraction, right? So I'm not open to receiving anything. But MDMA allows for the opening because it relaxes the amygdala. Okay. I'm just giving you like super like surface level. Like I'm not even going to go into the science of it all. Whatever. I'm just trying to give guys, like everybody, just an idea of how that works. But so, what's interesting here is Sure, we might have this beautiful experience. Then what do we do with it? Most people, I want the experience. I want the peak experience. And then what most people don't understand is that your nervous system is the gatekeeper of everything, right? So if you do not do any form of post-integration, meaning all of this insight, all of this intelligence, all of these gold nuggets that I have now received through this session or this ceremony, if I do not know how to implement that and become the thing, walk that way, talk that way, become the evolution that it's teaching me is my potential, right? I just revert back and I loop back into my trauma cycles and my patterns and the unhealthy habits and all of this kind of stuff, right? Those of us that really understand that this is a long game, that really are here for self-development, I say self-development, but like human potential, organic human potential, we understand that this is a lifelong devotion. And I'm not talking about a lifelong devotion to I have to fix myself. That's not it. That's actually unhealed, right? There is a lifelong devotion to understanding that we have a sacred responsibility. When we open ourselves to what we open ourselves to, we're being given these gifts and we have a responsibility to then actually be that in the world. Our most authentic self is the change we actually want to see in the world because we're more integrated, we come back to wholeness, all of these things. So this intelligence that we get to receive when we use a tool like psychedelics is one thing, but it's not meant to be used for the rest of our life. That's why these rites of passage were like, okay, once a year. Big ceremony once a year, and then you spend the rest of the year going
Integrating.
within,
Yes, integrating.
integrating.
I love that. What I wanted to say, because I was so you always you take me to this place when we get to have our conversation where I remember a life outside of like the physical material reality. Like what I teach, even through decodes, even things that seem silly to people, that's a form of time travel to me, because I can see a scenario as though it's still happening at that particular time, even if there's filters over it. So I'm going to talk about this post that I did that you commented on, and I think you might have been one of the only people to really get it, but there was this very raunchy music video that was using the exact same concepts of ancient Egypt as like this inversion of what this reality is when we're talking about, for example, the rites of Osiris and Isis. And so me recognizing that, to some people's like, oh, that's silly, that's just a music video, but these ideas never die off. I also shared a picture earlier this week of the crown of Hathor and the pituitary gland in the brain, which many people who are adept have identified at this point. But when you were talking about the amygdala, that's where my head went. Like, I don't even understand how, well, I do understand. You know, there's a clinical, like you said, denial of the connection, yet it's very apparent and gatekept by so many people and organizations that show the sacred rites of life and death are through these stories that have been left behind for us. So when you see, and I'm sure maybe this is might not even be the first time you've seen it, when you see this integration of, or not, it's not even an integration, this inversion of these ancient rites put in like modern day pop culture, but it's inverted. What's your response to
Oh my gosh. What's my response? Rage.
that?
Like, no, but sacred rage. And I call it a sacred rage. I mean, somebody has to have it. Look, I mean, this is even just a deep, deep topic here. But first of all, let me just say, I grew up in the 90s. Okay. I love my Biggie. I love my Tupac. I love all of those like late 90s, early 2000s hip hop stuff. And like, I have two teenage girls now, 16 and 14. And when they come home, and because now they're going to public school, they weren't going to public school before, but anyway, and there's influences there, and there is this pop culture, blah blah blah, like these songs that I'm like, what are you freaking singing. Like, this is the densest. Like, I don't know. I guess every generation has their thing. But like, when I was growing up and I was listening to like Tupac or like whatever, it's like, okay, yes, there's some vulgar stuff. The frequency was different. Like, the frequency was different. And I know a lot of people are not going to understand that, but there was wisdom in the message. As vulgar as the message may have been, for the most part, most songs, some songs were not, I get it, but for the most part, there seemed to be heart and soul in the messages. Like, again, say what we want to say about all these artists. And like, I was listening to a song the other day. I don't know, it came up on my playlist. It was like a Nas song, it's like, what was it again? I can be what I want to be. Like, I forget the name of the song. Like,
I don't know the name of, but I know what song you're talking about.
listen to the words. They're brilliant. Okay. Like, they're actually, it's like they
He
both,
had an album, I think, dedicated to ego too.
He did. And the words were like actually really, they were deep. They were instructive. Like, they were actually good. Like, it was good. Like, it felt like you can feel the frequency different nowadays. And I know why this is happening. Like, this inversion. Again, this is what everything relates back to, what I call the synthetic virus, right? So how can we, as this is a very elite game, okay? They understand the laws of the universe, the laws and the principles by which they can bend reality, which were the same laws, hermetic laws and principles that were utilized by high priests, high priestesses in collaboration with the land for the purpose of organic human evolution, tapping into organic human potential, meaning our body is the technology. Okay, they understood that. And so, how did they support that evolution? Through rites of passage, through ceremony, through ritual. Okay, now in comes the powers that be, who are here to specifically enslave, control, distort our evolution, right? And embed a very synthetic virus that distorts our evolution. And how it does that is by disconnecting us from source. You can give it any name you want: God, creator, I, source, whatever. Okay. The point that I'm trying to make is it has infiltrated every aspect of modern life, especially our music, because music holds frequency, it holds vibration. Word is spell. My voice has a vibration that you may not understand what I'm saying, you're gonna feel it. Okay. So what I'm saying here is, of course, we're going to have these elitist powers that be that are going to use artists who literally have a gift, right? They have oracular gifts of word and voice, and they are going to create contracts. Okay, like when we get into like the spiritual, like understanding, like even like all of like from a very shamanic perspective, we have to understand that like it goes beyond simply written contracts. Like, there are soul contracts, right? So again, like I said, this is like a massive series that we can do on all of this, but people need to understand that the words and the music and the tone and the repetition of the stupidity that is being, like, literally, it's just outright stupidity. Okay. It's actually inverting two main things: our connection to money, our connection to sex. And it keeps perpetuating, okay, those programs that have been inverted, because those are the two pathways. When they are not inverted, those are the two pathways for our body to experience source in the body. Money is directly connected to sensuality, sexuality. Okay, money is a tool. It is very neutral, right? It is an extension of our life force. It is ex an extension of our actual beliefs and programs. And those of us that have been strictly programmed with these very like fear-based beliefs that come in through generational trauma, right? Come in through very systemic ways. We keep perpetuating a cycle of scarcity. And that's how they keep us in that, like they control us with that scarcity. And so, you know, when you come back to Egypt, I say Egypt, but it's even before Egypt. Like we got to go back to Atlantis. And even before that, right? There was a break in Atlantis because of the misuse of power, because of the misuse of the divine technologies, the crystalline grids, the misuse of plasma. What is our body? We have plasma in the body. Fascia is plasma. I can go on and on and on all about these pieces. But this is what they're doing. And so like these elitists, like don't, you know, yeah, okay, Cardi B might not really know what she's talking about, but I'm pretty much sure she does. Like I'm just saying, you know, it's like this is not women's empowerment when we're like throwing our coochie away everywhere. It's like
No, but you're being serious. You're
that's not women's empowerment. Like that is actually energetic leaking. And that is an even better way to learn how to control and distort the feminine. And I'm not talking about the feminine is not promiscuous. That's not what I'm talking about. That's a whole other piece. But why do we distort the feminine? And the feminine that resides within all of us, men and women, the primordial feminine, the essence of feminine energy, right? That is the main thing that has been under quote unquote attack or oppression. To literally control sex and money and distort it in that way, because it is the realm of, I mean, I can get it, like, this is, it's a really big topic, but essentially, think about it. If the feminine aspect is nurture, nature, mother, if the feminine aspect is emotion, thought form, pattern, what's the best way to distort it? With fear, right? It was never eradicated. It had to go underground to be protected in many ways over millennia, right? But every time we put fear into the collective over the feminine, shame on the feminine, shame on our bodies, shame on sex, like all of these things distort the collective field of the feminine, and it creates this like massive, what I call like an egregore of fear, right? That everybody in the collective holds until we start fucking waking up to the truth that that is actually sacred, right? Anyway, I mean, we can go on and on
No, it's great.
and
And when I was given, I just say when I was given my gifts, because I always consider myself to just be the consciousness traveling in the body with the duty to learn the lesson and teach the lessons. But when I saw that, as I've seen many, and I pointed out in plenty of, my pieces of decoding work, I think that I was given the gift because I never understood, like, if I come from this ancient world or I've embodied a consciousness before that understands these mysteries and I've been initiated into shamanic medicine and learning how to use this, why in the world am I in the 2026 breaking down music videos and pieces of pop culture? And like there had to be a knowing that there would be a time where we'd be looking at reflections of things that were shadows being cast, like it's Plato's cave allegory. So when I point these things out, I always wonder, like, am I doing the right thing? Is this what I'm actually built to do? And when I view it, I had a meditation session with myself. It was almost as though I was in the Hall of Mirrors and learning how to adjust them because this changes the geometric framework of what's being cast through the screen. So as I see it and I'm pointing it out, I'm kind of like changing the mirrors so that we do not forget our own reflections, but also are hyper aware of, this is what the reality. They're showing you exactly what the story is. I believe in that post I was talking about Soaphead and talking about the dog star and Sirius, but nobody's going to know that watching a video, which is why this is how the memories have to continue. If I have to break down an entire movie or a music video for you to get it, at least to initiate the thought, now I can go start seeking out people who are holding or who are not gatekeepers, but who are priests or holders of the sacred knowledge that crazy enough, and it's not crazy at all, the women were the priests. They were the leaders. And
Were the high priestess.
I've seen that inversion. I was just explaining it with this piece of work that I was sharing on the recent news with the rapper Nicki Minaj and Trump. And I pointed out she's shown quite a lot of references to ancient Egypt. The night before I posted that, I actually sat down and watched the film Stargate again. And I've told you about things I've seen with this before, but I find it interesting because Trump signed off on Project Stargate, OpenAI, and SoftBank.
Of course.
And the easiest way I can explain it is that the mysteries never died, they never left, but it's being used in tech now as a way to kind of still try to capture the essence of the story without actually using the energy that it comes from. So I don't know if you've seen that, but the whole, I mean, everything with BRICS currency, with the Stargate project, you have to ask yourself, like, why name it these things? Like, there's obviously a underlying story there. So how do we now protect the stories now that we know that they're being mirrored and replicated everywhere?
Well, we have to come back to the original templates. See, that's the thing is, so again, this is very nuanced as well. So this is where all the work I do with my clients, like most of it anyways, it's all, when I talk about truth, it's like we need to refine our discernment. Discernment is it's a somatic sensation. It doesn't come from the mind. Okay. We have to come back to the body to be able to feel that like intuitive hit that that doesn't smell really good, right? So that we can open our eyes to see like what's actually happening. Otherwise, we're going to miss the very, very sneaky mimicry that is happening where they're utilizing the sacred language and the same names, and they're naming things, blah, 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 right? And it's like, if you don't actually understand what is happening, you're gonna miss it and say, oh, look at that. Isn't that nice that they're honoring this? No, they're not. They're spell casting. Okay. This is all, like, I'm telling you, this is all, it's the ritual is in your face. The rituals are all in our face. And that's simply because they know how to use the energetics, right? These are ancient brotherhoods. This is like dense shit.
Oh
Okay. This is
yeah.
where I don't know if you want me to get into that, but what
Of
I'm trying to say
course.
is like, right? What I'm trying to say is this is their like generational lineages that have been passed on and on for millennia of the same people and beings that have inverted the template. And when I talk about a template, like imagine you have a blueprint of something, right? And you're gonna go and architect. I'll talk about a temple. Like, you got a blueprint for a temple. And of course, there's many, many dimensions to what a temple is beyond a physical structure, but you have a temple. And I'm gonna architect this temple. I'm gonna build it. And well, what am I building it for? Am I building it for Washington, D.C. over some sacred land? Or am I gonna build, like every temple is built on very particular energetics, specifically because temples are supposed to be living instruments of divine consciousness. Okay. And I'm using the temple example so that you can understand like everything becomes a temple.
Oh,
Like, what do you
I
think?
know exactly what you mean. Real quick, I'm going to add in a clip right on this part where we're talking. But I saw an image that Elon Musk posted for his Grok AI, and he's literally showing the two pillars. It's so blatantly obvious, but like, no, he could never know about that. How do you think he got to where he is? You would have to
Of
have been able to
course.
replicate that.
This is what I mean is like it's all based in Sacred geometry, divine intelligence. It's very, very specific, evolved intelligence that the ancients had access to that we have been removed from and has been kept only for elites, right? And now we are waking up to it, right? We are waking up to it. So it's like when we're holding these precise templates and blueprints, that actually translate divine consciousness. It's being translated directly into the human body, right?
Digitally.
Directly, yeah, directly into our system. And why? Like, why would it do that? Well, because it's supposed to do that to help us remember who we are and who we have been all along. Okay, so these are, that's why you have temples that have all of these like encoded like symbols and proportions and celestial orientations and acoustics and, stone and like what is stone? We absorb, like stone absorbs. Stone is, there's so many aspects of the components of stone and what it's capable of, crystals, what it's capable of as mem holding memory, right? Everything is typically mapped to the actual subtle anatomy of the human being. Right? So think about that. Think about how important we are in this third dimension, this body as a temple, and how important that is, and how like it literally informs every other kind of structure. So if we're using the human body and we're distorting this temple by disconnecting it from source in all the ways we get disconnected through our food, through our music, through our dilution of our language, through the medical systems, the government systems, the school systems, like all of these ways that they're keeping us asleep to the real technology, organic technology. The mirror becomes the consciousness of this sleep for most of the planet. And the only people that are operating the awakened version are the elites because they know exactly how to utilize the temple, right? In order to make them in control and make them the power over and make them the billionaires. Right. And so the mirror that we're actually seeing with AI is a mirror of our actual consciousness.
Yeah.
So this is why it's like, it's not to be in separation of, it's to learn how to be in right relationship with and understand that we must first evolve within ourselves and understand that we are the organic technology, that we do not outsource ourselves to it. To actually be able to be in collaboration with source. Right? So all of these things, like, I mean, it's I could write a book.
It needs a book. It needs a book. It needs like a TED Talk, all of that, because who are we if we don't have the mysteries anymore? They weren't just inscribed as a fairy tale, which is interesting because even if we're talking about like fairies in the term of like the solar bark and the traveling across, these are true stories that abide by the human body, like you said. Whenever I think of when you're talking about the nervous system, I think about how our muscles and our nerves are like the river, and what flows through them empowers our brain, our mind, and our emotions also become our reality as well. So it becomes a bit of a superpower when you understand that you are already all of these things, all of these great mysteries, that they were embodiments of things that have never really left. It's just about awakening. Because I'll say, like, one of the most common questions I always get with people is, will they forever have power over us? Will we ever get our powers back? And like, they're already in you. You have to
No,
learn to
exactly.
activate them again. They're not, they're licensed out, they're leased out when you subscribe to a certain train of thought or a being, but they're still yours. These are your creative wills and forces that you're interacting with, which is like the wonky part about explaining what's happening with tech, because separates people from understanding that they are the solar and the lunar being all in one body that is then being projected and cast out through technology as some new form of inventive. Oh, look at what we have over here. When the whole time it was already in you. And it just to me represents, actually did another code earlier this week or last week on the loss of the left eye. And now we have all of these things happening with silver. I think you posted about silver too. But that connects perfectly with the story. So when you see things happening in real life, because I know you're well versed in intelligence, it's a signal to you that you're doing the work that you're supposed to do right now. You're helping awaken people to the slumber that they've been in for so long.
Absolutely. I love that. You know, I do like using the word intelligence because I think we've also as a collective, and you know, we are waking up to that now finally, but I think we have been in a slumber of what true intelligence actually is. And I really, that's something I'd love to, it's, you know, funny because when I was working in the, you know, the forces or the federal police force and all this, and I was, you know, I was doing source development at one point, right? So it's like, what is that? That's human intelligence, right? It's like, oh, intelligence, intelligence. I'm like, I love gathering intelligence. It's like, it's funny how that really did one aspect. I mean, there were so many aspects of like how I was actually being trained for what I do today in this completely like, you know, unbeknownst way. But now looking back, it's like, yeah, that makes sense because intelligence is not simply this cognitive thing, right? And I think we're finally waking up a lot more as this aspect of the feminine essence wakes up in the collective. You know, we have access to our emotions, and that is a form of intelligence. We have access to the sensations in our body that never lie, but that our mind always tends to override because we do not trust the sensations in our body, nor can sometimes we even feel them because we're not present enough with them. That is a form of intelligence, right? And it is the kind of intelligence that the elites know about because this is the pathway into how we do bend our reality so that we can be sovereign beings, sovereign from, you know, this outsourcing of systemic illusion that we have been, you know, put under. And yeah, I mean, the intelligence piece is infinite, right? Because that is source. It's infinite intelligence. And so there's just so like there's so much out in the quantum field that we can pull from, so much potential, but we actually get in our own way because we're too afraid to tap into intuition, which is again another feminine, you know, thread. Yeah, there's a lot there.
So, what do you think is going to happen for this next wave of human intelligence or the emotional resonance of humanity right now with everything going on? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, I mean, look. We can easily get caught up in the frustration and the fears that, you know, like the doomsday stuff and everything that we're seeing play out in like social media and the news and all this. I mean, it's all circus and it's all specifically done to literally have us looking this way while something else is happening over here. Okay. So, what's happening over here, by the way, is this very, you know, I believe that. Yes, AI is here. I believe that there's also something else that's right on the precipice of being widely known in the plasma field and what is actually happening with plasma. And I believe plasma is going to be, and I don't want to say like our saving grace. That's not what I'm going to say, but like plasma is the organic aspect of. What I would say is like the antithesis to the artificial intelligence that we're experiencing right now. So I feel, and this is, I mean, if you look into like plasma research and all these things that are happening with plasma, which is so funny because it's like the science is now just catching up to what we've known for, you know, thousands of years. And like this is exactly how we work. We work with plasma inside the temples of Egypt, inside many temples all over the world, at sacred sites. We work with plasma, even though it's technically refined plasma and we don't see it. You know, it's there because plasma is the mirror. Right. So plasma, let me explain something here. Like plasma itself is the fourth state of matter. There's a big mystery around plasma, and like you can even look at some recent actual murders that have happened to some plasma researchers, because they're getting very close to understanding many things that are trying to be controlled right now. La 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 la. Okay. That being said, plasma itself, and think of it, plasma. What does ma stand for?
We always have the
Mother,
mother, matter, matriarch.
matter, right? Okay. Right. So plasma, but in like Greek, ancient Greek, plasma was like, it meant to mold, right? In many ways, there's different meanings, but basically it's like in French, we say plasticine or like plasticine. It's like that Play-Doh, right? So that's plasma, right? Consciousness itself cannot form into anything without plasma. Intelligence, so consciousness is intelligence, right? And so every time consciousness can actually meet plasma, plasma is sentient. Plasma is self-organizing. Okay. So consciousness needs plasma in order for it to be formed. So, like, imagine the human body is a big plasma field. Like, we are formed plasma, right? In many different ways. What I believe is happening is we are going to be able to understand as a result of AI and sort of this rapid, I'm going to say like rapid ways of educating ourselves or evolving ourselves through actual like knowledge or like that cognitive style knowledge. We're going to be able to understand how we can better work with plasma. That's actually going to corroborate a lot of what we have known, sort of from the more like spiritual perspectives and spiritual aspects, right? Of like, oh, this is actual ethers. This is the ethers. Like, this is like we have different dimensions of plasma, third dimension, fourth dimension, fifth dimension, and so on. And what if the fifth dimension is actually just the plasma field, or like even the ancient Egyptians knew this, the ka, the ba, right? Like, there's different aspects of the soul, right? You've got soul, oversoul, you've got highest self. Well, these are all just aspects of plasma, right? The realms of plasma. And how are we actually going to be in co-creation with it and understand that plasma is literally because it takes form to consciousness, right? As consciousness becomes more expanded, right? More like, I don't even like to say ascended, but more expanded, more evolved, right? Plasma will then mirror that back to us. So that's, like the mirror that we talk, and like when we talk about mirrors, and like there's even, in the Gospel of Magdalene, right? Mary Magdalene's Gospel, like there's a whole bunch of missing parts, but she does speak about this fourth state. She speaks about, there's a whole bunch of things, like it's all coded in there. But if you look at the Vesica Pisces, right? The Avalonian and Vesica Pisces, like you have like the two, right? And they come like this, right? So you see three, but there's actually four because there's a middle layer. That's the veil between you and plasma.
Okay, so I'm going to say this real quick to the audience on what, if you want a reference to what Sylvie's talking about right now, look at the very beginning of the film, The Fifth Element. Where does that film start off at?
Exactly.
And when the alien, I believe, what's her name, Lilu, when she is downloading basically like these Akashic records in her mind, she
Yep.
puts on glasses that have the Chanel symbol on them, the same Vesica Piscis, the
Yep.
opening with in the middle. So that's what we mean about like when things are heavily coded, or that's their way of telling you what's going on without what's going on, but also a signal to
Yeah.
yourself to see that this is happening within you as well.
Yeah. And honestly, what's hilarious is my girls the other day, they're like, Mommy, they grew up with Frozen and all the Disney stuff. And like, of course, I'm just like the worst mom when it comes to pointing out all the things. Like, I can't, like, my family can't watch a movie with me because I'm like, oh, did you see that? Like, that's what that means, and they're just like, oh my God, mom, like, shut up. But really, we just watched Frozen 2 again the other day, And again, just from this aspect of consciousness that I'm at now compared to where I was when it first came out. And I'm watching this and I'm like, it's all plasma. Like, it's I'm just like, it's true because she becomes the, and like ice, right? It's ice, which is water, which is what is
Oh my
water?
gosh, I think we need another
Like,
episode because I have
you
so
know?
much to unpack with that, with you on that, on the
Yeah.
human mind.
You know, all of it, all of it. I mean, we're not meant to know everything. This is the sacredness of the mystery. And this is a big part of what I teach as, you know, an initiated priestess with my clients, you know, especially what we experience on pilgrimage. I purposely give people mystery itineraries because I want them to begin to trust the mystery. Begin to trust that we get to co-create with it, that it creates us as we step in, that not everything has to be pre-planned and logical and cognitive because we're missing the entire other side, right? So, yeah.
Well, this has been a great episode. I'm actually going to ask Sylvia. She'll be a regular guest on the show because there's so much we can learn and unpack that I think will just be revealing for people who are taking these next steps. I think that this particular season, as well as the rest of the year, is going to be evolutionary for people when it comes to consciousness. Like you said, there are going to be things that are probably revealed about plasma coming forward, which to me is also a signifier that it's going to be a rebirth for all of humanity, from people from all different backgrounds, different degrees and levels of consciousness. So if you can leave the audience with anything today, Sylvie, what would that be for this next period we have moving forward?
Oh my goodness. Well, moving forward, you know, and the first thing that drops in is we are coming into, you know, the next phase here, a new cycle, a new 9-year cycle, and we're coming into the year of this wonderful fire horse. And if I can offer anything to anyone, it's to really, really step out as your most authentic self, beyond fear, discomfort, beyond any of it. Authenticity vibrates at a level, at a frequency that is higher than joy. It's higher than love. Authenticity is the reason why we came here, because it reflects the truth of humanity. And if we want this world to be a quote unquote better place, even though we're supposed to come here to experience the contrast and the conflict. And that is literally what births our most authentic self if we choose to move through it, right? The point is, it starts within. And I know how shitty that sounds and how, like, I know, trust me, but that's what it is. Be who you are, step out. Even if you don't hold an official formal leadership role, lead from your authenticity. Lead your family that way. Lead your friends that way, right? Lead your community that way. Whoever, be you, be human.
Thank you so much. I think that is a word that we all needed to hear today. As usual, I will be posting Sylvie's amazing articles on her Substack that she shares, as well as the information and links to her Instagram and her work, so that you can get to know her both, not just from a social media level, but as an instructor, as a priestess, as a carrier of the flame, so that when you are initiated into your own path and journey, you'll know that there are still guides all around you who are here to help this next wave of evolutionary consciousness to continue on these traditions that never really died. So,
They never did.
thanks so much, Sylvie. Hopefully, she'll come
Thank
back and join us
you.
on another episode. And
Anytime.
until next time, this has been the Tailored Healing Collective podcast. I will see you next time. Stay encoded and stay sovereign, everyone.